Chapter 22. Life Doesn't Forgive Mistakes. Abandon. Absolutely. Agitated. Approach. Armed. Blocked. Bodyguard. Bomb. Bombed. Bonfire. Ceremoniously. Circled. Citizen. Cleanly. Clutch. Coldness. Commission. Connection. Coward. Decisive. Disaster. Dot. Dune. Elections. Europe. Ever. Fast. Finally. Freedom. Frightening. Fulfill. Future. Gestured. Guarantee. Gunman. Hand. Handed. Headquarter. Helicopter. History. Importance. Informed. Kiss. Lit. Nation. National. Oversee. Pair. Passionate. Passionately. Pillar. Pour. Port. Promise. Pull. Rapidly. Receive. Recognize. Refused. Regime. Salary. Save. Scream. Shaved. Shining. Sign. Softly. South. Stayed. Stretch. Stumble. Superstar. Surrounded. Symbol. Thin. Through. Tiny. Traditional. Unemployed. Union. Vast. Village. Well-groomed. Whispered. Within. Woke. Life doesn't forgive mistakes. Paul Rost entered the building. A man with a machine gun blocked his way, but Lisa Pandora saw him. She said something to one of the people, and he commanded the gunman to let Rost in. Rost came up to the room that Lisa Pandora had entered. The door opened slightly, and Rost saw that Pandora was handing over the money and signing some papers. She saw Paul and smiled nervously. "Paul, wait for me in the hallway," she said. The people with her looked at Rost, and he felt the frightening coldness in their eyes. In the evening, the people in the square lit bonfires. They sat around the fires while on the platform people spoke one after another. They all spoke about Peter Ashour as the leader of their new country. They said that there would be free schools and hospitals, that salaries will be as good as in Europe, and that poor and unemployed people will receive money from the state. Rost was standing at the edge of the square when Lisa came up behind him and hugged him. "Paul," she whispered softly. "We're in the Sahara, but I'm cold. Let us go into the house. I prepared a bed for you." They went to a small house on the edge of town. "Do you know that all around us there are no cities and no villages within 200 kilometers? And to the south, the Sahara stretches for 1,500 kilometers. And all around there's nothing but sand dunes. And there's no water at all." "Give me some water," she said. Paul Rost looked around for the water bottle, but Lisa took his face in her hands and turned it toward her. "No, don't look. Give me a drink, Paul." He wanted to look around again, but she didn't let him. "No, do not look. Give me a drink. Give me," she whispered passionately. He kissed her, and she also gave him a passionate kiss. The moon and the bonfires lit the town, which was like a tiny dot in the vast ocean of sand. In the morning, Lisa touched Paul's face with her hand and woke him up. "Hi," she whispered. "Hi," he whispered back. She showed him a small ring. Then she kissed his hand and put the ring on his finger. "What is that?" he asked in surprise. "It is a symbol of what is now between us. Don't ever take it off, okay?" she whispered. "Okay," he whispered. At this moment, there were shouts and shots. John Vega entered the room with a machine gun. "Madam Prime Minister, your minister wants to get his salary." John Vega was difficult to recognize. He was very thin. His eyes were wide open like a madman's. "Your minister also wants to fire you, Lisa Pandora, because you do not fulfill your promises," he continued to shout. John Vega pointed his gun at Pandora, but two shots stopped him, and he fell down. Behind him stood a man from Lisa Pandora's team. "Thank you, Saeed," Pandora said, and got out of bed. "Today is a decisive day, Paul. Do not leave me, okay?" she said. Ashur entered the room, and along with him entered four more people with guns and stood by the door. Roast realized that they were Ashur's bodyguards. "Today, the European Union Commission will visit us," Ashur said. "Madam Pandora, you, as the future Prime Minister, have to show the Commission that we guarantee absolutely democratic elections throughout our young nation." Peter Ashur ceremoniously handed Pandora some documents. Roast was surprised by the fact that Ashur acted like a real president. He was well-groomed and cleanly shaved. He wore the traditional national dress of the local people. Roast touched his stubble and looked at his dirty clothes. Ashur went up to Roast. "The most important day has arrived, Mr. Roast. Today we begin the history of a new democratic state." Ashur raised his hands to show the importance of the moment and left the room. His bodyguards and Lisa followed him out. Peter Ashur's father stayed in the room. He threw himself at Paul Roast's feet and shouted, "Paul, save my son. He is going to get into big trouble. You are the only one here who hasn't gone mad for money." "But what can I do now?" Paul justified himself, pulling the old man to his feet. "Our people are supposed to get me out of here, and he could go too, but will he want to go?" "Arrest him, Paul," the old man cried, and showed Roast a pair of handcuffs. "Here are the handcuffs." "That's very hard to do now, when he's surrounded by so many armed men," Paul said, looking out the window. "Oh, what a disaster! What a disaster!" the old man repeated, clutching his head in his hands. In the square, there were even more people. All of them were screaming and were very agitated. "At night, they bombed the seaports," Ashur shouted from the platform. "The old regime doesn't want to give us freedom. Today, the European Union Commission will visit us. It will oversee the democratic elections in our new country." An airplane flew over the town again, and at that moment, Roast's phone rang in his pocket. "Yes," Roast said. "Paul, it is dangerous to be there now. Our headquarters have been informed that the city will soon be bombed. Our guys will take you away in a helicopter any moment now," Andrew shouted through the receiver. "Be ready to run away at once." "What will happen to all these people?" Paul asked, looking at the women and children in the crowd. "I don't know, Paul. No one knows," Andrew replied. At that moment, the connection was lost, and Paul saw a few dots in the sky to the right. They were rapidly approaching the city. At that moment, a helicopter with a blue flag on the side flew from behind the dunes and landed near the square. Nobody comes out of it, and no one went in. Roast ran to the helicopter and opened the door. Two armed men were sitting in the helicopter. "Paul Roast?" one of them asked. "Get in quickly. We have only 1 minute. They will start bombing this place right now." "I need to take more people with me," Paul cried. "It's only you. Quickly," the people in the helicopter insisted. They are all from our country. You can't leave our citizens here now. It will be fast, Paul shouted and ran to the square toward the platform. Lisa Pandora and Peter Ashour refused to fly. We are not cowards. We will fight, Ashour protested from the platform. Get in the helicopter quickly, Paul shouted to Ashour's father. I won't abandon him. He's my son. I must die with him, the old man replied. Pandora looked at the dots in the sky. Now they were close, and one could see that they were large military airplanes. Paul, she shouted, ran to him, and grabbed his arm. Together they ran to the helicopter and got in. The helicopter rose and circled over the city. The first bombs began to fall on the city. As the helicopter flew over the square, Roast saw that Ashour was standing on the platform and shouting something to people in the square. The first bombs fell on the square, and people ran in different directions. But he did not leave. It was his shining moment. Ashour raised his hands above his head and gestured passionately. He was a superstar. His dream finally came true. He was ready to die, but did not want to give up his dream without a fight. It was the last thing Roast saw from the helicopter. The town disappeared in the smoke of the explosions, and soon only a pillar of smoke on the horizon pointed to the place where the town was. New Vocabulary Review. Could you tell me, is today still January, or is it February already? I think that today is still January. I'm not sure. Could you tell me, what time is it? Let me look at my phone. Exactly 5 o'clock. Thank you. By the way, isn't it raining outside? It isn't raining, but snowing outside, and it's very cold. In this country, there are many poor and unemployed people. Do unemployed people receive financial support from the state? Yes, the state supports people by giving them money, but they pay a very small amount. Does the state give them free food and clothing? Yes, it gives a little to the disabled and families with many small children. Where does your future husband work? My future husband works in a women's prison, Mom, and earlier he worked as a manager at a bank. Why did he change jobs and went to prison, particularly a women's prison? He stole money from the bank, and his ex-wife said that she had done it, and they put her in jail. Now he sees her almost every day. And this fact doesn't bother you? No. First, because I am spending the money for which she is doing time, and secondly, because we will soon steal a lot of food from the prison. I am afraid that his next wife will be eating the food that you're planning to steal. Dad, what better, a helicopter or plane? They cannot be compared, son. Why not? The helicopter flies vertically. It is like an elevator. A plane flies horizontally. It can be compared to a camel. Then what is easier to steer, an airplane or a camel, Dad? If I become president, I guarantee that there will be freedom and work for all the citizens of our country. And if you don't become president, then I guarantee that all the citizens of our country will be in prison and under a military dictatorship. Well, that's too bad. Again, nothing will change. Is Turkey in Europe or in Asia? Geographically, Turkey is in Asia, not Europe. But politically, Turkey could enter the European Union. It means the Turks will become Europeans? Yes, it sounds incredible, but it might happen. Where are the salaries higher, in Europe or Asia? You can't compare it like that. In different countries, there are different salaries for different professions. Hello, where is your manager? It's me. Nice to meet you. How are you? Excellent. How may I help you? I'm with the Commission for Bank Inspection. I'm sick. What? Are you ill? Yes, call a doctor. I need a hospital. Mr. President, the people want to know the history of their country. No problem. Give them the history of our country. But what version of the history should I give? The one we had before the presidential election or the one we had after them. The version in which I am a superstar and the symbol of our state. Mr. President, the citizens are agitated. There is no work and no food. Then speak on the radio. Give the citizens traditional hope and traditional guarantees. You are the prime minister. You have to know how to make promises. But the people don't want promises. They want reforms. 1,500 people are standing in the square. Then arrest them, and don't bother me with such nonsense anymore. Mr. President, our citizens are coming here. Okay, I'll talk to them. Am I well-groomed and shaved? But they are armed. Then call my bodyguards. Where are the ministers? Your bodyguards ran away together with the ministers. Cowards. Then it's time for me to run away too. Where's my helicopter? The crowd in the square set the helicopter on fire. When the crowd comes in, tell them I'm a cook, okay, Prime Minister?
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Prime Minister, look at the globe. Is the border in the north or the south? One moment, Mr. President. Faster, the crowd is catching up with us. The globe only shows our country. There is no border, Mr. President. Do you have the globe of the world? No, it is our country's national globe. It's your personal invention, Mr. President.